Good evening. My name is Bill Patrick. The program is Viewpoint. This program is being recorded Thursday afternoon at 2:25 p.m. at the Dane County Blood Center on East Washington Avenue. Today we're going to follow a blood donor through the actual process of blood donation. The donor is yours truly. We're seated here at the desk that greets you as you come into the blood center. This is the first step of three. This is registration. After registration will come the physical examination and then the actual blood donation. Across from us is Miss Kara Lothi, who is a volunteer staff aide at the Red Cross. Miss Lothi, what's going to happen here?
I'm registering for the blood bank. Would you like to give blood?
Yes, please.
All right. And your name is what?
George Vukelic.
All right. And do you come in once a week?
No.
I see. It's just first week. All right. And I'll have the card made out for you. And your home address?
3934 Plymouth Circle.
And your home telephone number?
Cedar, 81779.
And your occupation?
Radio announcer.
And where are you employed?
WIBA.
And is this your first time, or have you given before?
I've given before.
And when did you give last?
About 2 months ago.
And your date of birth?
July 5th, 1927.
And your age?
36.
And your weight?
175.
That's fine. Now, if you want to sign this card now, we'll go over to the nurses and they'll take care of you.
Thank you. We now come to step two in blood donation. We're at a little table presided over by Miss Violet Owen, who is a registered nurse with Red Cross. This is the physical examination. Miss Owen at the moment is taking my pulse. She looks very pensive.
Well, not too pensive.
Now she's rolling up the sleeve of my shirt, the left arm. What's that contraption you're putting on there?
This is the blood pressure apparatus. We check everybody's blood pressure, as well as their pulse and temperature, before they go over to the line to have their hemoglobin taken.
What does the pressure have to be before you take it?
Pardon me?
What does the pressure have to be?
It has to be over 100.
What was it?
140 over 80.
Now, is that good or bad?
That's very good.
Bless you.
Thank you. I didn't get your temperature.
All right, now I'm going to have to shut up because she has a thermometer and she's going to stick it into my mouth. The thermometer is out of my mouth. What did it read?
98.4. Now we have some ginger ale we'd like you to drink.
Why do you give people ginger ale?
This gives a little more sugar just before the blood is taken. A little more energy.
Thank you, Miss Owen. We're over at another desk, and I'm sitting across from Mrs. Lloyd Meckler, who is a registered nurse and a Red Cross volunteer here. Mrs. Meckler, what's going to go on at your desk?
I'm going to check the hemoglobin, which is the iron content of your blood, and I'm going to ask you some questions about illnesses and so forth.
All right, fine.
First of all, I'll take the hemoglobin.
Now, you're holding my right hand, and you're going to do something to my little finger. No, my third finger. You rubbed it with alcohol?
That's right. I'm rubbing it with alcohol. Now I'm wiping it dry.
Now what's in that little package?
This is a sterile, small needle that will puncture your finger to draw blood. Now I'll wipe the first drop off. I'll fill my pipette with enough blood for the hemoglobin test.
Now she's simply squeezing the finger and forcing blood up into the pipette.
It'll be dropped into a solution of copper sulfate.
Now, why do you do that?
This tests the concentration of iron in the blood, and if the drop of blood goes to the bottom, then your blood qualifies as to the standards of the Red Cross sets for the amount of hemoglobin you should have in your blood to give blood. If it would be a little low, this might cause weakness and so forth in you after you had given the blood.
So this is just a quick general overall test. If the globule of blood sinks, I can give blood today, and if it doesn't, I shouldn't give blood today.
That's correct.
I see.
I'll ask questions. Have you had a blood transfusion in the last 6 months?
No.
Illness in the last month?
No.
Have you had surgery in the last 6 months?
No.
Have you had malaria or taken any anti-malarial drugs in the last 2 years?
No.
Have you had tuberculosis?
No.
Diabetes?
No.
Undulant or any prolonged fevers?
No.
Rheumatic fever?
No.
Have you ever been told there was anything wrong with your blood? Too thick or too thin? Too many red or white cells?
No.
Have you ever had anything wrong with your skin, such as eczema, dermatitis, or boils?
No.
You had any form of heart trouble?
No.
Kidney disease?
No.
Persistent cough?
No.
Pain in the chest?
No.
Shortness of breath?
No.
Fainting spells?
No.
Convulsions?
No.
Have you had any immunizations or injections recently?
No.
Are you now under doctor's care for anything?
No.
Are you taking any pills or medications of any kind?
No.
Have you ever had a serious head injury?
No.
Have you ever been treated for a stomach ulcer?
No.
Have you ever had jaundice or hepatitis? Do you know what it is?
I know what it is. I've never had it.
All right. Have you had contact with anyone who had jaundice in the last 6 months that you know of?
No.
Do you have any allergies?
No.
Hives?
No.
Sensitivity to foods?
No.
Sensitivity to drugs?
No.
Do you have asthma or wheezing?
No.
Do you have hay fever now?
No.
All right. We will be happy to accept your blood today. And we thank you for coming down to the blood bank. I'll sign your card here. I'll sign your blood donation record card, and you can take this history card along to the next desk, please.
Now we're inside where the blood is actually donated with a nurse named Miss Janice Hain. Janice, what are you putting on my arm?
A blood pressure cuff to pump up the vein.
This is on the right arm. I have a little piece of wood in my right hand, and I'm supposed to squeeze it. Now you've marked the vein with your fingernail,
yes.
Sort of an X That's where you'll be taking the blood?
Yes, that's where we do the venipuncture.
I'm on a sort of table arrangement, padded, very comfortable. There are three such tables in a sort of U arrangement. There are two registered nurses that are moving and servicing the three blood donors on the tables. This is the very last step in blood donation. In a moment, we shall be giving a pint of blood.
This is the bottle, and it contains, we put 440 cc of blood in, plus the 110 cc of preservative that you see in here. It looks like water, but it's called sodium citrate, and this preserves the blood for 3 weeks. And then we hang it in this rack right here, and it's put in upside down, and it runs by a vacuum. There's a vacuum that sucks the blood in.
Now, the blood you take out of my arm will go into that jar.
Yes, it will. We fill it up to 440 cc, plus the 110 preservative makes it 550.
Sitting at the next table is a young man who, in a bright yellow shirt, who is giving blood, and we're passing the time. Is this your first time giving blood?
No, my second.
Why do you give blood?
Oh, possibly to help somebody that needs blood. Possibly my time might come when I need it, and I'd like somebody to help me.
Do you continue? Do you plan to continue to give blood?
Yes. Whenever I can. It's a worthy program.
Now you can just open and close your hand a couple times. Now squeeze real tight and open your hand.
Okay.
Squeeze real tight. Now just hold it like that and don't let go. Now open your hand. Now you can just keep opening and closing your hand slow and firm. It's running real well. Just slow and firm, don't pump real tight. This will just take about 5 minutes. We have to shake the bottle so that it stays well mixed with the preservative, otherwise you get clots in the blood.
Would you drink your water first, please?
That was Mrs. Ralph Hillner, who is a Red Cross volunteer, who is down here at the Red Cross canteen one day every month. As you can surmise, we've just finished giving the pint of blood. We're in Mrs. Hillner's custody now, and what happens next?
Well, would you like coffee or milk?
I think milk, please.
Okay, thank you.
We're seated here in the canteen. We're seated here in the canteen with two distinguished blood donors and officials of the Dean County Blood Program. With us are
Dr. Merle Hamill, Director of the Red Cross Blood Center,
and
Leonard Peterson, Administrative Director of the Center.
Doctor, exactly how many pints of blood does the center collect every month?
Well, our fixed center right here collects only about 50 pints a week. That'd be about 200 a month. But totally, with our three blood mobiles, we collect over 5,000 pints every month. That's 250 pints a day is what we aim for.
How often is the blood center here in Madison open?
This is open just one afternoon a week on Thursdays. And it's open for members of what we call our one-a-week clubs, the groups that have agreed to send at least one donor a week in here, and for those who want to replace blood for friends or relatives that have received it, and also for just our regular donors who come in and give periodically.
And so the rest of the week, the blood mobiles are ranging around the state collecting blood for your program.
That's right. We, as I mentioned, we have three blood mobiles, and they are scheduled out all over the state. There are 40 counties that take part in our blood program that's centered here in Madison. We have one in Illinois, three in Upper Michigan, and the rest are here in Wisconsin, and we cover just at least over half of the state with our blood mobiles.
How many pints of blood do the Madison area hospitals require for surgery?
You know that? I'm not sure what it is each week. I know it's about 15,000 pints a year. Can you divide that up?
15,000 pints a year. And how many pints of blood do you collect a year?
We collect about 65,000 pints a year. Actually, the quota for Dane County is only 10,000 pints a year, and they use 15,000. That's because it is a medical center, and they do a number of major types of surgery here so that the people come in from other counties into the hospitals here for their surgery.
Pete, we hear a great deal about the Red Cross and hospitals charging for blood. Would you clear this up, please?
Well, I'll try to. The charge made at the hospital when a patient receives blood is the charge, the administration charge of giving that blood. There's no charge for the blood itself. The hospital has certain supplies that they have to use in giving the blood, certain equipment. They have technical personnel that have to transfuse the blood. The only sum that is returned to the Red Cross for the blood used is for part of the supplies that we use. The cost returned, or the amount returned, is $5 per unit.
So all Red Cross gets per pint of blood then from a hospital is $5 per pint per unit?
Yes.
And so that any charge over and above $5 would be the hospital charge, not Red Cross's charge?
This is correct, and this would vary from $12 to $15 a unit throughout our region, throughout the area that we serve.
So there is no fixed hospital price on handling the blood?
No, sir. This would vary. Some of the charges do go above the $15. It depends on the type of tests that they're doing, the area in which the blood is being used, where the costs are different.
Is this kind of blood program more effective than the programs handled by other cities, Milwaukee's, for example, doctor?
Well, it's more economical for the people of the entire community because they don't have to pay for the blood itself at any time, whether they have replaced it or not. And it is a great benefit to the stranger in town, for instance, who's just come here, has no friends, it could replace for him in case he needed blood, and also for the elderly whose friends are too old to donate. It's a community-wide program where the entire community takes care of those who need blood.
What segment of the community contributes more blood than others?
Well, here in Madison, it's the university, students, employees, and faculty. We just had a blood mobile there a couple of weeks ago, and they contributed over 1,500 pints during 1 week. Out in the in our region and the other counties, we do get good support from some of the other colleges, and especially from the penal institutions, the reformatory at Green Bay, the prison at Waupun, and the new prison at Fox Lake all contribute.
You mean you send blood mobiles right to the prisons and take blood from the prisoners?
In fact, I don't know how we'd get through the Christmas holiday season without our prison donors, because most communities are reluctant to take a blood mobile at that busy holiday time, and so we schedule our units, blood mobile units, into the prisons during the holidays, and that's where the main supply of blood comes from at that time.
I see. Pete, how much does it cost to process a pint of blood? That is, I'm asking it badly. Let me ask first, is all the blood that's contributed used as whole blood, or is it broken down by hospitals?
Some of it is made into the blood derivatives that we use. This, of course, is the outdated blood. Blood has a lifespan of only 21 days, and after this period, why we do fractionate this into the various blood products. About 75% of the blood that we draw is used as whole blood.
So would this be then part of the hospital cost? Do they break the blood down, or do you do it here at Red Cross?
Well, we do part of the processing here. The commercial laboratories to whom we send the plasma actually does the actual fractionating.
Is it dangerous, doctor, to give blood anymore?
Certainly not. If you're a person in good health, can give blood, and we allow people to give just 5 times a year because we think that this is often enough to keep your own blood supply built up. We also make a donor wait at least 8 weeks between donations. But for a person in good health, it's not at least a bit harmful to donate.
How much blood is in the human system at any one time?
Well, it would average about 12 pints for the average adult.
12 pints, so that just by drawing off a pint every 2 months, you're not going to weaken the system, provided it's healthy.
No, we do the hemoglobin test on every donor, and in order to donate blood, a person has to have more than enough for just himself, and this is what this test is for. If a person passes our hemoglobin test, it means that they have actually more blood than they need for themselves and can spare a pint for someone else.
We've been talking with the both of you in your capacities as professional people. Now I want to ask you how you feel about the blood program as donors. Both of you are multiple gallon donors, and I would like to know why people in the business, people who are professional, give blood.
Well, I just think it's a wonderful feeling. It makes you feel you've done something worthwhile, and of course from my standpoint, I'm an Rh negative person, and we're often short of that type in the blood, and helps build up our supply.
Doctor, how many gallons of blood have you given?
I've given 3.5.
All here at the center?
No, I've given 2 or 3 of the pints out on blood mobiles.
Pete, how about you?
I've given a little over 6 gallons, some of them here in the center and some out on the blood mobile visits.
And why do you give blood?
Well, perhaps for the same reasons that Dr. Hamel does. Certainly we that are close to it know the need for it, and as a result, we give as often as we can.
Do you feel that the Madison community, the area, fully understands your blood program, Doctor?
No, I don't think so. I think that we can have wonderful articles in the paper, wonderful programs on the radio, on the television and all, and yet it goes way over the heads of many, many people. They don't read it in the papers, they don't listen to it on the radio or watch the television. And I think that until a person in their own family needs blood themselves, they don't actually understand the importance of the program. Once they have replaced blood for somebody in their family that needed blood, then they have to become regular donors, because then they do understand what we're doing here.
Pete?
I don't think I can add anything to that. I'm sure that many people do not understand the program, at least from the questions we get daily here in the office.
What do you think could be done or should be done to make people more aware, or can you do anything?
I don't know. I mean, we've had wonderful cooperation, of course, from the news media here in Madison, and they're doing all they can to help spread the word about the program, but it's just, unless a person has an individual interest in a program or a subject, they don't bother to listen or to read about it.
Are you falling behind in keeping up with the needs for your blood?
We've had pretty real good success with our blood mobiles and our collections recently, and our bank has been in good supply.
Pete, what do you think is the single most important factor in having blood available this way?
Well, it certainly takes care of the emergency needs of any hospital or of any patient. In the old days, before we had blood available as we do today, it was necessary to call in donors with certain delays. They waited. Very often it wasn't possible to find the right types. With a bank here or a center right in Madison, we have available many types and usually can take care of most emergencies.
What about the Skid Row type of blood bank so prevalent in the larger American cities? Doctor?
Well, of course, we don't have any donors of that kind at all in our region, but in the bigger cities, Chicago, Detroit, and those areas, there are commercial-type blood banks that do buy blood from the Skid Row people. We feel that these donors are not dependable. They may have some kind of disease that could be transmitted through the blood. And, of course, in order to get their $5 or whatever it is for their pint of blood, they won't give a true medical history. And many of these diseases cannot be picked up by testing the blood. We have to depend on the donor's word for it.
Pete, how does the Madison plan of collecting blood compare with plans elsewhere throughout the country?
Well, you have various blood plans or various types of blood banks. You mentioned the commercial banks. Well, this, of course, is the type of bank that buys blood and sells it at a profit. You have community-type banks such as we have in our neighboring city of Milwaukee. This is a very good type of blood bank, blood center. They rely on the community mainly for voluntary donations, just as we do. The main difference, of course, is that they do have a responsibility fee, where if you're not entitled to blood through one of their plans, you must pay for the blood. You have hospital banks that are very good, too. We feel, of course, that our plan is the best for the total community. It takes care of more of the total needs of everyone that might need blood.
Now, how does our plan here in Madison work exactly? Suppose I needed a blood transfusion and I was given a pint of blood. What liability do I acquire by accepting that pint of blood?
Well, there's no mandatory replacement of the blood. We guarantee blood coverage to anyone that's hospitalized in a hospital that we serve. There is perhaps a moral obligation to see that there's blood available for the next person that might require it.
And then also I would be liable for the handling charge that the hospital would put on the particular pint of blood.
This is true. You would have to pay the cost of administering that blood to you, but there is no charge for the blood itself.
And as far as Red Cross is concerned, if I chose not to replace that pint of blood, you would accept that?
That's correct.
I see. Doctor, this kind of hinges really on the old golden rule, doesn't it, this entire blood program?
Yes, it really does. This is neighbor helping neighbor, as our Red Cross slogan says.
How many volunteer workers do you have here at the blood center?
We usually have about three or four helping us on the center days. When we're out working with the blood mobiles, where we're collecting 100 to 150 or 200 pints, of course, then it takes many more volunteers to help us, up to 20 or 25 for each operation. But that's because, let me add one more thing. That's one reason our Red Cross program is less expensive than the other programs, is because we depend so much on volunteer help.
How many paid professional people do you have here on staff?
I believe the 35 would be the figure at the moment. We, of course, always need more staff. With the present shortage of technologists and nurses, we do have a hard time keeping our staff up to full strength.
This afternoon we've been chatting with two, dare I say it, fondly, old professionals, namely
Dr. Merle Hamel
and Leonard Peterson
at the Blood Center on Washington Avenue. Most everybody gave blood today. Why don't you come down next week, Thursday, Red Cross? Take it from me, Billy P. If you have never in your born days given blood to another human being, let me tell you, the experience is like being born all over again. Bill Patrick, Viewpoint, WIBA.